So this week I had the opportunity. I was down in, you have a seat. Yeah, go ahead and be seated. I was down in Marco this week a couple of different times for my job, and I was calling a client, and the client said, hey, you can't get here right now because the roads are closed. And as I was driving to Marco, there was so much, like it rained 15 inches in like a short time span, and the roads literally couldn't hold it. I don't know if you watched the news this week, there were catfish swimming in the streets. Like, that's crazy, right? Like, I like to fish. I can never catch fish, but they were in the streets this week. It's nuts. And so, like a ton of rain, but we're glad you're here tonight. It's dry. This is the place to be. We're glad you're here. If you weren't here with us last week, I started this little mini-series, two parts, chapter 3 and chapter 4 of Acts go together. It's a part A and part B. As we're looking at this series in the book of Acts, we want you to remember Acts 1:8 is the theme of the entire book, and that verse says, you will be my witnesses when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so if you don't know anything about God's word, maybe you're new to this whole Christianity thing, like Jesus lived his life. We know Christmas, right? Christmas, Jesus steps out of heaven, comes to earth, little baby, baby, right? And so 8-pound, 5-ounce golden baby halo Jesus, right? And then Jesus grows up, has a beard, because beards are awesome, lives his life perfect. And then at Easter, we celebrate Jesus dying on the cross, the Passover. He dies on the cross for our sins. And then Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, they go to the tomb. Tomb is empty. And then there's a period of time, about 40 days after the tomb, until this moment of Pentecost. Jesus is with his guys for 40 days, right? And then he ascends to the Father. 10 days after that, we have Pentecost, which is Acts chapter 2. So now we all have the context of when this was written, right? And so Luke is writing this. He wrote the Gospel of Luke, right? Luke is the story that Charlie Brown reads in, right? It's a very Merry Christmas, Charlie Brown, right? Luke is the telling of the Gospel of Jesus Christ by the historian Luke. And he's telling it to a guy named Theophilus. And Theophilus is the guy that he writes Acts to, right? This is part two of the series, right? So now we have what Jesus did. Now Acts is what happened after Jesus left. And so we get to Acts chapter 4. Last week we looked at Acts chapter 3, right? Which was an awesome story because we've all been in that situation when someone has asked us for money and we don't have any, right? And so you've seen the signs and you don't know what to do. And so that happened to Peter and John, right? They're broke preachers, right? They were fishermen who followed Jesus, and the guy asked them, hey, do you have any silver, any gold? And they look at him and said, no, we don't have any money, but we do have something for you. And the guy's probably, oh, great, free advice, right? Awesome, more advice. Well, if I were you, here's what I would do. I'd go down and do it. Right, no. They tell the guy, hey, get up and walk, right? And that could be an insult because the dude's been lame for 40 years, right? And that the guy looks at him like, whoa, I can't just get up and walk. But all of a sudden he gets strength in his feet and he stands up and he walks and then he jumps. And then he's like, oh, this is unbelievable. And all of a sudden a crowd gathers around because the guy who had been lame all of his life begging for money at the gate is now walking. And so a crowd gathers around. So Peter and John, being good, probably Baptists, right? They say, hey, there's a crowd. Let's have a sermon, right? I'm a recovering Baptist, so I can make fun of them. And so what happens, Peter and John, they start preaching the gospel. And that's what happens when there's an ordinary moment. When an ordinary moment is met with an extraordinary God, God shows up. And it's amazing. And so that's Acts chapter 3. And so if you weren't here last week, or if you were here last week and you've slept since then, like, all right, good. We're all caught up together. Now, Acts chapter 4, let's look at this together, because this is what happens when Jesus shows up and starts to do something phenomenal. Religious people get hacked off. And tonight you're going to have one of two responses. You're going to be like, yeah, that's right, or you're going to be hacked off. And so, and here's how I can tell if you're hacked off. Right, because that's like the default mode of people that are just upset. They're like, they look like they've eaten some prunes or something. Their face is all contorted, and for some reason they want to feel their armpits, and they get in there, you know. And so when Jesus shows up through Peter and John, the Holy Spirit, they're preaching a sermon, the religious people get mad. And so here's where we pick up, Acts chapter 4. If you have your Bible, it's going to be on the screen so you can follow along. Peter and John, They were speaking to the people. So this is the midst of the story. So the transition from chapter 3 to chapter 4. And then it says, they were confronted by the priests, the captain of the temple guard, and some of the Sadducees. So the religious leaders show up because, whoa. Remember, it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and the reason that Peter and John are even going towards the temple is because it's time for prayer, right? So the religious leaders have a religious service that's planned, and now Peter and John are getting all the attention. And so as Peter and John are just going about their ordinary day, and God shows up in an extraordinary way, as they're going about their day, God shows up, and then they have this impromptu sermon, and the religious leaders who have everything planned, who have all the rituals, who have all the rules, when they realize that they aren't as much as a big deal anymore, they show up and they confront, they're confronting Peter and John. So verse 2. So these leaders, they were very disturbed, right? Oh, grumble cakes, right? You know, so you can imagine, right? They're looking at Peter and John like, who are you guys? What are you doing? Like, it's 3 o'clock, it's prayer time, service is starting, it's all about us. What are you doing, and why are there all these people around you? So the leaders were very disturbed. Peter and John were teaching the people that through Jesus, there is a resurrection of the dead, right? These religious leaders had already dealt with Jesus. Right? Jesus was the one that they crucified because he said he was king. Like, they'd already dealt with him. Now they're still dealing with him because people are going around saying, he's not dead, he's alive, he's not dead, he's alive, he is risen, he's risen indeed. And the religious leaders are like, enough of this Jesus stuff, right? It's about religion, it's about rules, it's about rituals, it's about coming to the temple at 3 o'clock, getting your prayer on, and doing what we've done for all these years. It's not about Jesus. And so when Peter and John are speaking about Jesus, they're very disturbed. So what do? They arrest them. Verse 3, they arrested them, and since it was already evening, they put them in jail until morning. Now, pause right there. This isn't in the text, but this is me with my ADD thinking, what happened with Peter and John once they went to jail, right? They're going to jail with other hardened criminals. You can only imagine when they get there, the one guy who's all too polite, right, asks him, hey, what are you guys in for? Let me tell you what I did. I killed a guy with my bare thumb, right? That, see that guy over there? He killed 5 people, right? And they're like, what are you guys in here for? We healed a guy, right? Like, you can imagine, like, that's not the story like Peter and John. Hey, let's come up with something. What do we do? Yeah, we touched a guy and made him walk. Yeah, I'm really sorry about that. My bad. Everybody's like, Brian's on a 5-second delay because he's in Hawaii. Ben, what's your excuse? Right? Sorry, Amy, my bad. That looks like it's the right page. It's a page, so there we go. Yeah, I'm going to just stick over here. There's like pedals there too. Like, man, it's too confining. All right, here we go. All right. They arrest in my box. Here we go. My wife's like, Lord, help him. They arrested them, and since it was already evening, they put him in jail until the morning. But many of the people, get this, like, you can't just arrest and stop what God is doing. Verse 4, many of the people who heard their message, they got it. They believed it. Verse 4 says they believed it. Right? They trusted. They saw a dude who had been lame for 40 years get up and walk, and not only walk, but he's shouting and praising God. And this is amazing. And so regardless of what the religious leaders are trying to shut down, Jesus shows up through Peter and through John and the power of the Holy Spirit. And people are like, I don't care about ritual. I don't care about prayer time. I don't care about all these rules. I want to follow the guy who has the power to make lame men walk. I want to follow that guy. I don't want to come and just pray because, all right, this is what we do. This is, all right, you pray now, you pray this, you say this, right? Hocus pocus and all is good. No, I want to follow the guy. There's power there. So here's what happens. So Jesus shows up through the power of the Holy Spirit with Peter and John. Lame guy is walking. Religious leaders hacked off. They arrest Peter and John. The next day, verse 5. The next day, the council, all right, this is important, right? This is not something like, you don't ever want to be called before the council, right? Like, if your grass grows too tall, like, city's coming around, like, hey, you're going to have to come downtown. You're going to stand before us and tell us why you can't cut your grass. Or, you know, like, Cape Coral's even worse, right? You left your garbage can out for 3 hours over the maximum, right? And so they're called before a council, right? When you're in school and you do something wrong, you're sitting before the principal's office. Now this is like adult principal, right? Like, you're standing before the religious leaders of all of the Jewish nation, the governing authority, and you're going to have to give your response, give your answer for why you're doing what you're doing. The next day, the council of all the rulers and all the elders and all the teachers of the religious law met in Jerusalem. So this is a big deal. Like, Peter and John are like, okay, we're going to stand before some highfalutin people, right? This is a big deal, right? And we start, like, Luke starts to name. This is what I love about this. Like, this is actual history. It's in make-believe. You can look in secular history and find the names of these people. It's amazing. Annas, the high priest, was there, along with Caiaphas. Everybody's like, Annas? What? And Caiaphas? Double what? Right? It's like, oh my goodness, like, these are powerful people. And John, we don't know who John is, history doesn't tell us, but like, the people who saw, they're like, John's there too? Are you kidding me? They got to stand before Annas, Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and other relatives of the high priest. Like, it's a big deal. Like, we read this and like, oh yeah, Annas, Caiaphas, John, Alexander, sure, that makes sense, right? But they're like, oh my goodness, this is a big deal, right? This is like some powerful, powerful people. And so they brought in the two disciples and they demanded, by what power or in whose name have you done this, right? Grumpy old religious dudes, right? They ate a lot of prunes, probably feeling their pits, right? Like, by what power have you done this? Peter, and get this, like, Luke wants to highlight this next phrase because this is the whole theme of the book of Acts. Luke says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, Acts 1:8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So he's making sure, he's highlighting to those that are reading this specifically, Theophilus, this is what happens when the Holy Spirit shows up. You're going to receive power. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, and said, rulers, elders of our people, are we being questioned today because we've done a good deed for a crippled man? Like, are you honestly arresting us because we healed some guy? He was on the side of the road for 40 years. You're bringing us before you because we did a good deed, right? No good deed goes what? Unpunished, right? Like, Peter and John, like, seriously, we're in trouble because we helped a guy? Like, we didn't have any silver or gold. So what do we have? We had the power of the Holy Spirit. We told him to get up and walk. That's what happened. So are we being questioned today because of what we've done? Do you want to know how he was healed? You want to know? You want to really know? And this is what Peter says. Remember, you will be my witnesses. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power to be my witnesses. Peter says, let me clearly state to all of you. Right? It's like George Bush many years ago, right? Not W, but like Daddy Bush. Right? He's like, read my lips, no new what? You remember? Yeah, no more what? Something, law and order. No more taxes, right? No more taxes. And he's like, do you want to know? Let me clearly state to all of you and to all the people of Israel that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Not just Jesus the Nazarene, Jesus Christ. Christ, the anointed one. Christ, the Messiah. Christ, the long prophesied one. You want to know how this guy who's been lame for 40 years outside the beautiful gate, you want to know why you see him walking today? It's because of the powerful name of Jesus Christ. You guys remember Jesus, right? Hey, Annas, you remember Jesus. Caiaphas, you remember Jesus, right? You remember? We're going to get to that in just a second. He's giving them a little history thing. The powerful name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene. Look at the next statement. You remember Jesus, right? The man you crucified. Like, Peter is not pulling any punches, standing before the governing authority of his time saying, let me tell you who did this. Jesus Christ, the one you crucified. You remember him. Like, we're not talking years, right? We're not talking decades. We're talking weeks at the most. We're talking a couple of months. Jesus Christ, the one that you sent to the cross.
Jesus Christ. That's who healed this man. Let me clearly state to all of you, Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, he's the one by his name. That's why he is healed. The man you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. For Jesus is the one referred to in the scriptures where it says, the stone that you builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. Now, this is obviously, this is a flashback, right? They're looking back to a messianic psalm, Psalm 118:22. You can write that down, or if you're in YouVersion, right, you can click on it and it'll tell you that that's a reference to that verse. Right, that is a psalm that all the religious leaders had memorized, right? To be a religious leader, you had to have the whole Old Testament memorized, right? Like, these are seriously religious guys. And they knew, like, they were probably thinking as they memorized that verse in Psalm 118, verse 22, who in the world would be so arrogant, so audacious to look at the Messiah and to reject him? Right? What builder looks at a pile of rocks and sees this one rock and says, oh, that rock is no good. And the very rock that he threw out was the foundation. And so what Peter says is, hey, you guys are famous. You guys got a Bible verse. You're mentioning a Bible verse all the way back in Psalm 118, verse 22. You're the ones that rejected the Messiah. You were probably thinking, who would be so arrogant, who would be so audacious to look at the Messiah and miss him? Well, guess what? You're famous. It's you. And Peter, with his boldness, because he's filled with the Holy Spirit, he looks at the religious leaders and says, the stone that you builders rejected, he's now become the cornerstone. And as if he wasn't saying enough bold things, He doubles down and says, there is salvation in no, what's the next word? One. No one. Wait a second. No one. There's salvation in nothing, right? It's a thing, right? It's religious atonement. It's the high priest going in every year on the Day of Atonement and slaughtering the lamb, right? It's not a person. Salvation is found in a thing that we're atoned for because we keep the law and we keep the rituals and we do all these rules and we don't hack God off because we do this and we don't do that and we walk the straight and narrow and our good deeds outweigh our bad deeds. And so what is this salvation in a person? What is that all about? Peter changes everything when he says, under the power of the Holy Spirit, there is salvation in no one else. There's not salvation in the priest. There's not salvation in the spotless lamb that's sacrificed every year. Salvation is only found in the Lamb of God, and that's Jesus Christ. There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. Whoa. Right, the religious leaders, like, they're just, like, Peter, he's like an MMA fighter that's just grounding and pounding on him. Right, the religious leaders, like, whoa, enough. You just threw out our whole entire system. Everything that we've built up for all these thousands of years, where we're important, where we're the keeper of the keys of the kingdom, where people can't get to God unless they come through us. You're throwing all that out. And Peter's like, yeah, absolutely. Because salvation is found in no one else. It's not about you. It's not about rituals. It's not about rules. It's not about religious practices. It's about Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something, the same is true today, 2,000 years later. It doesn't matter how good you are, because you're not good enough. It doesn't matter how bad you are, because you're not bad enough. You can keep trying, but don't, right? It's about how perfect Jesus was. Jesus, the perfect, spotless, sinless Son of God, laid his life down on the cross. It's not about what you can do. It's not about what you bring to the table, right? It's not about how good looking you are. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Right? It's not about how fit you are. It's not about how much money you make or how much money you don't make. It's not about how big your house is or how homeless you are. It's about Jesus Christ. There's salvation found in no one else. It's Jesus. And for the past 2,000 years, it's always been about Jesus. And for the next 2,000, 10,000, and for all of eternity, it's going to be about Jesus. It's not going to be about you and me and what we bring to the table. It's about what happened 2,000 years ago in a moment in history. And see, that's the thing about Christianity. Every other religion, minus Christianity, it's you've got to work your way to God. You've got to do something to please Him. Christianity, totally upside down. God made His way to us and laid down His life on the cross so that you and I could be forgiven. Salvation is not found in anything else that we do. It's found in the name of Jesus Christ. And that moment happened in history. And so the religious leaders, they were hacked off about this. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Look what happens, verse 13. The members of the council, they were amazed. They were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they can see that these were ordinary men with no special training. These weren't guys who devoted their lives to memorizing all the Old Testament. These were just normal, everyday fishermen. Like, they're rednecks like me. Like, I grew up in South Georgia, right? Like, the county that I grew up in, and this is really, really sad, and I don't know why they keep these statistics, right? Our county was famous for two things. Had the highest illiteracy rate and had the highest incest rate. You're like, right? It's like both of those things are perpetuating problems, right? Because they can't read about it. Because, right, okay, all right, good. Yeah, you see what I'm saying, right? But God thought fit to save a dumb Georgian redneck like me through the power of Jesus Christ so that I could just say, hey, it's not about me. It's not about what I bring to the table. It's not about what I accomplished. It's not about what I'm going to accomplish. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about faith in Jesus Christ. It's about Him. About Him, the Him here, the who. And so the members of the council, they were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. They recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. And I pray, God, let this be said about us. God, how are our lives marked because we've been with Jesus? How are our lives different? The lame guy, right? He had a moment where he was lame, for 40 years lame. Boom, meets Jesus through Peter and John, different, never the same, praising God from that moment forward. Hey, let me tell you my story. Let me tell you what happened to me. I was sitting outside a gate for 40 years, you know, holding my bowl up, holding my guitar. You know, like, here, please, please, put a dollar in here, right? And for 40 years, I was just begging. And then all of a sudden, one day, two broke preachers came by and they said, hey, we got no money, but we've got Jesus. They gave me Jesus. My life's never been the same since. Right? That should be our testimony. I met Jesus. From that moment forward, my life has never been the same. Because you can't deny history. Your story, you can't deny it. I was this way before I met Jesus. I met Jesus. Now I'm never the same. Look what happened. They saw the boldness. They recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. And then they asked the question, skip down to verse 16. What should we do with these men? We can't deny that they've performed a miracle, right? We can't. There's a guy who couldn't walk who's now walking. We can't deny that. And everybody in Jerusalem knows about it. But to keep them from spreading the propaganda any further, we must warn them not to speak to anyone in Jesus' name again. So they called the apostles back in and they commanded them, now don't you ever speak or teach in the name of Jesus. And Peter and John replied, do you think God wants us to obey you rather than Him? We cannot stop telling about everything we have seen and heard. It's not a belief. Like, my beliefs can change. Beliefs can change. I can't deny what I saw. Dude was lame. By the power of the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ, dude's walking. Jesus Christ said, I am going to die. Breathes his last on a cross, says it is finished. 3 days later, hey, I'm back. Can't deny that, right? You can tell me all that you want and try to change my beliefs. I cannot change what I've seen and what I've heard. The boldness of ordinary men, because you can't deny reality.
your greatest testimony is your life fully surrendered to Jesus Christ. What would your life look like when you say, God, here it is, I trust in you in that moment of history. I don't know how you did it, but I trust in you. I'm putting my faith in you. There's no other name that I must be saved by. I'm trusting in you, and my life's never been the same since. Finances never been the same since. Marriage never been the same since. My kids never been the same since. The way that I walk, the way that I talk, never been the same since. Now, I'm not saying you've got to get it right every single time, because Lord knows, none of us in this room do. But now, instead of chasing after what I want to follow after the Savior. We cannot stop telling about everything that we've seen and everything that we heard. So what do the religious leaders do? They threaten them further. Verse 21. The council threatened them further, like, we're really going to hurt you. Like, kill us. Go ahead. Go ahead. We can't deny what we saw. We can't deny what we heard. You can't deny that guy was lame and now is walking. You can't deny the reality of what happens when God shows up. The council threatens them further, but they finally let them go because they didn't know how to punish them without starting a riot. For everyone was praising God for this miraculous sign, the healing of a man who'd been lame for more than 40 years. And then what happens after that? As soon as they were freed, Peter and John, they returned to the other believers and they told them what was happening. They told them what the leading priest and elders had said. And when they heard this report, all the believers lifted their voices together in a prayer to God. And here we have recorded a prayer. This is how they responded. God shows up in a miraculous way. The boldness of Peter and John preaching and teaching and sharing the gospel before the religious leaders. When the other believers heard it, the way they responded was worship. It says they all lifted their voices together in a prayer to God. And this is their prayer. O sovereign Lord, creator of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, you spoke long ago by the Holy Spirit through our ancestor David, your servant, saying, why were the nations so angry? Why did they waste their time with futile plans? The kings of the earth, they prepared for battle. The rulers gathered together against the Lord and against his Messiah. In fact, this has happened here in this very city. For Herod Antipas, Pontius Pilate, the governor, the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were all united against Jesus, your holy servant, whom you appointed. But everything they did was determined beforehand according to your will. And now, O Lord, hear their threats and give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. And after this moment of worship, the whole place shook. God shows up, and this is exactly what Luke is trying to tell Theophilus. The whole point is when the Holy Spirit shows up, you will receive power, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth, Fort Myers, Cape Coral, right? Lehi, Immokalee, right? Marco. Like, when God shows up, when misfits get the fact that Jesus Christ is the only name by which we must be saved and we cannot deny history, then things are going to change. There aren't walls in the city big enough to contain what God wants to do. When people, ordinary people, untrained, normal guys and gals, misfits like you and me, when we get what God is doing, and when we trust Jesus Christ and allow the power of the Holy Spirit to rule and reign in our lives, we will be his witnesses wherever we go. Tomorrow morning at work, no, wait, I usually say that because it's Sunday when I preach. So Monday morning at work, Tuesday night, Friday night, wherever you go, you are his witness. Be his witness. Be bold, right? Be bold. Live for Jesus. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, thank you for the boldness of Peter and John. God, thank you for the moment that they had, God, to worship you. God, that after They heard the report of what you did through Peter and John and the lame guy. God, the power, the boldness that they had, God, they worshiped together. And Lord, I pray tonight as we worship together, God, that we would realize that salvation is found in no other name. It's only in the name of Jesus Christ. And God, for those that are here tonight who haven't trusted in you, God, who haven't turned from their sins and looked to you as the perfect Savior, God, I pray tonight would be that night. God, not that they would trust some ritual. God, not that they would, you know, trust some religion, but they would trust in you, in your name. Not in something, but in someone, you, Jesus Christ. And God, for those of us who know you, Lord, I pray that we would be bold. God, that we would be bold this week as we live our lives as ordinary men and women. God, that people will see that we have been with you, that our lives are different because we have been marked by our Savior. God, that we would have boldness. Be with us now as we worship you in this moment. God, as we sing and lift our voices, God, to ascribe to you, to sing back to you the worth that you have in our lives. God, that we'd shout it from the rooftops. God, that there's not a place you would send us. God, there's not a place that we wouldn't go and be your witnesses as the Holy Spirit comes upon us. God, that we would be bold for you. God, we give this time of worship to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's stand together. Let's worship.